Good morning. Good morning. Welcome to the third and final hour of the program for the week. I want to thank Henry Bousquet, candidate for state representative. Take a good look at him, particularly if you're a Republican or unenrolled, thinking about pulling the Republican ballot in September. He's running for your rep if you live in Dartmouth or part of Ward 1. It's a very gerrymandered district. We're now joined by the very honorable former sheriff of Bristol County, Tom Hodgson. Good morning, Tom. How are you?
Morning, Chris. Great to be here.
Henry's a good candidate, right?
Oh yeah, he's a very qualified candidate. Yeah. And one of the things I was listening on the show earlier, but I believe he's speaking on the 27th at the Dartmouth Republican Town Committee.
Oh, nice.
At the Stackhouse Club on I think it's 16 Faith Street in Dartmouth, right off Rockdale, and I believe he's going to be speaking.
Dartmouth always gets a good crowd.
Oh, yeah, they do. You know, Margaret Sweet does a great job.
Great.
She's chairwoman, and she does a phenomenal job. So,
State committee woman's excellent, too.
Yeah, well, of course. Right. Of course. That's my best three quarters.
We'll wish a happy belated birthday to Joanne, your wife.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, I know she's she appreciates it. She's always listening. Yeah. So that'll be a good event.
Yes.
It always is, and it's a great opportunity for people to go and listen to the different candidates when they're speaking. And as I said, Henry Bousquet will be there on the 27th. So
very, very unique opportunity, an open seat. Those aren't often what happens.
Right.
Most times, it's such a good job, they get in and they stay. Chris Markey's decided to become our district attorney, which is fine, and he'll do a good job with it. And that's going to be an open seat. And there's competitive Democrat primaries and competitive Republican primaries. So there's guaranteed to be a very interesting November ballot. No matter how it shakes out, it looks like it'll be a Republican, either Brian Shortsleeve or Mike Minogue, running for governor against Maura Healey.
Yeah.
Should be a clash.
It's going to be, look, this is clearly a year to try to bring more balance back to Massachusetts, certainly bring better leadership to Massachusetts in regards to what's going on up at the governor's office or not going on. And so a really good opportunity for people to get out and hear from the differences. When you go out and listen to these candidates, you get a chance to really listen to what the differences are between what you are seeing now and have been seeing for quite some time. And some people that are really focused on the things that really matter to the average person and to their families and to their communities. So we're in a really important time. I always like to relate it, Chris, to history.
Yes.
You know, that we're all chosen for different times and different things in history. And I think here in Massachusetts, this is our time. All of us, we know things aren't going well. We know we need a new direction. We need some more balance. Obviously, in the legislature, it's been dominated for years and years and years by a one-party sort of liberal approach to government. And so we have a chance now. And it isn't just about us. It's about our kids and our grandkids.
Yes.
Right? It's about what are they going to say about us when we get older? We're not old yet, but we're moving up in that direction. So what are they going to say of us when things were spiraling downward in Massachusetts?
Hope they don't find my Boy George albums. That's all I hope.
Yeah, yeah. But, you know, they're going to say, is my mother, my father, my grandfather, my grandmother, did they stand up for us? And when they had the opportunity, they were chosen at that time in history, what did they do? Did they make the change that was required to give us a better, more prosperous opportunity, a safer life going forward? I think all of us want them to say, yeah, they did, and think proudly about what we did when we had that opportunity. So here we are. We have some great candidates out there, and it's time.
508-996-05. Tom Hodgson's here. He'll answer any question you want. You can make any comment you want. We're certainly open to all of that. And what do you, Tom, you spent a number of years as a city councilor before you were appointed and then reelected multiple times to be the sheriff. So you dealt with a lot of budgets, a lot of money at the sheriff's office. What do you think about the structural deficit in the city budget of New Bedford?
Well, it's very unfortunate, obviously. I'm not certain how much the city council was on top of this with regards to paying attention to, you know, the auditing, you know, the audit committee and things like that. We should never get to a situation where we're surprised like this,
right?
In my view.
Yeah.
I think we all know that the issue around criminal illegal aliens being brought into this country, and then on top of that, this sort of open policy around sanctuaries, just come and don't worry about it. Somebody else will pay for health care, schools, all these things. That what's happened is when you don't pay attention, if you owned a business, Chris,
okay,
and you said, I'm not going to pay attention to the costs of everything. I'm just going to keep buying and buying and buying.
Just go to the Cayman Islands, not pay attention.
Yeah, and I'll just keep putting it on my shareholders. Well, guess what? Eventually, you're going bankrupt.
Yes.
And the shareholders are going to be awfully pissed off that you didn't manage what you were supposed to manage. And I think that's probably the best, well, a good analogy anyway, of what we need to do differently, that we have to pay attention when we're in government and say, no, I'm sorry, we can't do this. No has to be part of your vocabulary.
Right.
And you're not doing it for you. You're doing it for the people who are blindly trusting you. Right. But when you just keep spending and say, hey, it's not my money. Hey, you know what? I'll reach in the other pocket and grab some more. Right. That is not what public service is about. And that's not what public trust is about.
Right.
It's about paying attention to the people's needs who blindly trust you every day that you're being responsible with their money. They have to be responsible. And as responsible as they're being, they're getting robbed from the people who were supposed to be representing them,
right,
by giving it to people who aren't deserving of that money.
I know that a lot of people in the media are combing through city council minutes, all the various boards, those minutes. I know because a lot of the people outside of the area who want to know about what's going on in the area, call me. They call other people at this station to get a lay of the land, people in the Providence media, people in the Boston media. It's really an interesting time because the city of New Bedford's budget at $32 million out of whack, members of the legislature say, like, well, Taunton's not out of whack. I heard that this morning. Taunton's fine. We heard it from Henry Bousquet, actually. But I heard it prior to that this morning in a conversation with someone who was in Boston who said, what's going on in New Bedford? Why are they so out of whack when right up the road, right up 140 in Bristol County, Taunton's fine? They don't have a $32 million structural deficit. This didn't just build up.
Yeah, I think it, like anything else, when this kind of a situation happens, I think we have to take a hard look. There's other communities across Massachusetts right now who are in the same boat. As far as the state aid goes and the things that the state's supposed to be providing us, I mean, they're in huge trouble up at the state because of the when Charlie Baker left, he left a big pool of money.
Right.
And Mara Healey went right through it and advanced her political agenda. The woke agenda for just, hey, open borders, let people in. You remember when they were sleeping in the airport?
I do.
Logan Airport? Okay. So that in and of itself should have been a red flag for everybody. Wait a minute, we got an administration here that's allowing this kind of nonsense to go on. And what's the cost for that? Did you remember that they never had to go through the security at the airport? They could just go around security while the average person waited in line to go through security, And these are people.
I'm waiting to get to Cinnabon, and some illegal aliens going around me to get to Cinnabon.
It's probably healthier for you. You didn't have.
Yes, that's true.
But the long and short of this is look, we got to get back to focusing on the things that really are important for us first. Whatever we can do beyond that, it's much like the idea of opening the border. You wouldn't just say keep bringing on more and more employees. I don't know if I have enough money coming in to support bringing on another 300 employees, but I'm going to bring them on anyway. And I don't know that I'm getting enough revenues to cover them, but I'm just going to keep bringing it on and hoping somebody's going to give me the money. Well, that's what's
going on. Are we talking about municipal budgets here or the country?
No, I'm talking about, you know, general terms. Right. How if you, as an analogy, you're running the business and you say, I just want to bring in more employees. I want to hire more employees. But this isn't about hiring employees. This has more to do with bringing people in here that haven't followed the law and done it the right way. You know it, and you're still going to give the people who are citizens here, you're going to take their money to use it for people that don't belong, that haven't done it the right way.
It's really crazy, actually, what happened. If you look back on what actually happened, Trump had the border secured. Joe Biden got elected, and opened the border, and they crowded into the country, and they were heading where? And Tom, you know this because you were the sheriff at the time, and or just before that, and you saw literally our governor, then the attorney general. What was she doing, Tom, when you were in Texas?
Oh, she was on the other side of the border in Mexico. I was down at the border, actually, in McAllen. And she's on the other side of the border the very same day making a statement that it's wrong. The United States won't let these people come in. And by the way, when Joe Biden took over, I mean, I've been to the border five different times. And I've been in Arizona, Texas. We could see where they were building the wall, all the metal there, the big wall that they were putting together. And they had completed this wall as far as you could see into the horizon. And they had all the lights hooked up and all the cameras. And that was to make it more cost effective. So you didn't have to try to have more and more agents all up and down. You could monitor it, right?
Right.
And the light would make it easy as well. When Biden got in, he refused to turn the lights and the cameras on and stopped all construction. All those metal pieces of wall just sat there and rusted for years. Right. And guess who paid for all that? We did.
They should have sent it to Mid-City Scrap right on State Road in Westport.
Well, they'd have made a mint.
They would have made a mint, right?
They'd have made a mint. But when you have total disregard for that kind of thing with the expenditure of taxpayers' money and just let it sit there, rot, waste, not get the advantages of the security, the cost savings that you would have by having cameras and not having to put more and more agents along the border and be able to still make it as secure as you can make it, it tells you everything about what the priorities were at that time. And all the way through the Biden administration.
And where were these vast hordes of illegal aliens with few skills and no resources coming over the Mexican border? Where are they heading, Tom? And how do you know that?
Well, they're heading to places like Massachusetts.
Yes.
They didn't want to, you know, I remember I was testifying before Congress, and one of the congressmen said to me, well, Sheriff, do you know what the three safest communities are in America? And he named the three closest communities near the border as though that was going to be a point, right, that he was trying to make. Well, if it's so safe there, then, you know, what's the big problem? And I said, Congressman, you made my point. I said, the reason that those are the three safest is because they're not staying there and right. taking a chance of getting caught. They're heading to Massachusetts and all these different states across the country as far away from the border as they can get. And they're committing crimes and victimizing people in our communities all over this country. Not right there at the border. They don't want to get caught.
Right.
I said, but think about that logic that he had. And this is a guy in Congress who's voting on things, and he hasn't really obviously talked to people in law enforcement and understood it. But he thinks, oh, see, that, there you go. I counter your argument.
But Tom, if I grew up in Honduras or Nicaragua, El Salvador, Guatemala, Panama, why would I want to come to Massachusetts where the climate is different, everybody speaks English, well, mostly, and why would I be lured to Massachusetts? I would think I'd have to go through all those states to get up to why would I do that? What was unique about Massachusetts with the supermajority Democrats and the benefit package they were offering these illegal aliens? What was unique about Massachusetts?
Well, number one, it was obviously a place you get pretty much everything for free. Mm-hmm. You get your health care, you get housing.
State law.
Yeah.
And right to shelter law.
Right.
Not repealed by the Democrats.
Correct. No, not at all. And of course they were drawn here. And
yeah, of course. Much like I was drawn to Sandals, Jamaica, because you give them a flat fee. I mean, I had to pay. They didn't. But you give them a flat fee, it's all inclusive.
Oh, yeah.
That's what this was. All-inclusive. Sandals, Massachusetts.
Yeah. And the national gangs were trying to reestablish their territories up here.
Yes.
And so it was all very, very apparent. But it was
almost like a plan.
Yeah.
Right?
Exactly. But the Governor Healey and the rest of them, they didn't want to even look at it. They kept, remember when they used to say, they started out with driver's license for illegals.
Yes.
Then it was driver's licenses for immigrants.
Yes.
They got rid of the word illegal. Then it was licenses for work to family. And they just kept changing the names. Right. And it was all about mental conditioning. And that's what this Democrat Party's been all about with regards to that issue.
Thank God Chris Markey, candidate for district attorney, voted against illegal alien driver's licenses. I just want to put that out there. Not all Democrats are as weird, right, quite frankly. You broke into the country, here's a driver's license.
Yeah.
But because of that, we all have to buy real IDs now.
I know.
Right? Think about that. The reason you have to wait in line and pay all that money for a real ID is because we're giving driver's licenses away to members of terrorist organizations, anybody who broke into the country.
Right. And then remember, through their driver's licenses, they were getting the right to vote?
Yes.
So they had this all figured out.
Right.
And but unfortunately for them, you know, President Trump's in there now, and
Thank you, Tom.
Of this is being exposed.
Thank you, Tom. Tom was the chairman of the Trump campaign. We can thank Tom for closed borders. And
we had a great team.
And all the people flooding into the armed services and law enforcement again. We did have a great team. All right, we're going to take a break. If you're on hold, I do see you. Join the fun with me and Tom Hodgson. We'll be right back.
This portion of programming on WBSM is brought to you by Dee's Hot Dogs in New Bedford, where you can get two hot dogs, chips, and a soda for just $6.
Back to Chris McCarthy and South Coast Now on WBSM. Call 508-996-0500.
Welcome back to the program. I'm Chris McCarthy out of the clear blue sky. Maybe your car's not working properly. That's sad, but I got a solution for you. Bring your automobile to Mac Auto Sales right on Rivet Street in the city of New Bedford. Mac Auto Sales is a family-owned business that repairs all makes and models of automobiles and get your automobile ready for the coming hot weather, which I'm sure you need. It's going to get really hot for a really long time. We're going to enjoy it, but our automobiles don't. So bring it to Mac Auto Sales. Make an appointment today. Call 508-565-6221. They're open weekdays, 9 to 5, for your convenience. If you're driving a foreign-made automobile, that's perfect. Mac Auto Sales specializes in servicing foreign-made automobiles. They do a wonderful job with American-made as well. They service the entire fleet of vehicles here from Fun 107 and WBSM. Mention WBSM. They'll give you a nice break on the repair bill. Ask about their aftermarket accessories and their quality used cars for sale at Mac Auto Sales. We're here with the Honorable Tom Hodgson. We're talking about all kinds of things, and we're taking your calls. Good morning. Thanks for holding.
Good morning, Chris and Tom. How are you today?
Good morning, Colin.
What's happening?
You guys were talking about, Tom was talking about people coming across the border. They don't stay at the border, and people are commenting that those are the safest places. Well, they obviously are going to states that are supporting them. Like, I'll give you an example or a comparison. In South Carolina, there's only one sanctuary city. That's in Charleston. There's no other sanctuary place in South Carolina, and there's no programs. We don't have like a budget for what is the budget there? It's assistance program or the, you know.
Oh, they've got a ton of assistance. Yeah. Migrant assistance. They get the shelter program, all of it.
We don't have any of that stuff. And that means the budget is freed up for the stuff that needs to happen for the community. Right. And so if Massachusetts rejected sanctuary status and these programs, you'd be funding the budget for the city of New Bedford and all these other areas that are short right now. And because she's trying to carve out a budget of, I can't remember the number. I thought it was like in the billions to try to tie up for assistance for illegals. And you know, the reason for it is twofold. It's not just to get enough people in here before the 2030 census to change the legislation, but the second thing is Democrats are running out of people that are needy, and they need more needy people to be able to control and to support. I mean, Black people they're making more money. They're in the middle class solidly. There are more professionals. They don't need the Democratic Party anymore. And so this whole thing is to flood the zone, so to speak. And anyway, that's what we're dealing with. But
yeah, thank you for the call.
Call spot on. I mean, yeah. It's exactly right. And so it makes it very clear. If you're gonna be dishing out taxpayers' money for something that the taxpayers didn't ask for and in violation of the law,
right?
We're not surprised that we're in the situation.
Whatever you subsidize, you get more of it.
Right.
I mean, that's an economic maxim.
That's a good way
and
to put it.
The point is, and that gentleman just pointed out when he talked about South Carolina, that gentleman used to live in Freetown, now he lives in South Carolina. We're the only state, as we talked before the commercial break, that has the right to shelter law. You can show up anywhere from anywhere and demand in Massachusetts. Only Massachusetts has this law. And it used to be a really good law. It was put into place in the 70s by Michael Dukakis in the legislature because we didn't have an illegal immigrant problem. We didn't. Right. Now, the activists from around the country, in conjunction with the Democrat legislators, realized, wait a second, we can flood Massachusetts with very dependent people who are not knowledgeable, but we can count them in the census. And that'll maintain our Democrat advantage in the Electoral College, our Democrat advantage in Congress because of gerrymandering in Massachusetts. 40% of New England votes Republican, but there's not a single Republican congressman or woman from the New England states.
Right.
It's outrageous.
I know. It is outrageous.
It's comical. And I love it. I appreciate real power being used. Even if I don't agree with the ends, what they're trying to do. Yeah. Talking with you about Pinochet in the break. He knew how to use power like these Democrats.
Yeah.
We're going to go back to the phones. We have Tom Hodgson here in studio. Half of my goal is just to make Tom laugh.
Oh, that happens all the time.
Good morning. Thanks for holding.
Hey, Chris. How you doing?
Good. What's up?
How are you?
Good. How are you?
You know, you had a lightweight Chris Hendricks trying to shout with our boy here, Chris.
You should have known better than that.
He's a proud commie. Rip Hendrickson, he's not afraid to hide. He's a commie. The same commies that we fought in Korea and Vietnam. But, you know, $5 billion we spent for illegal aliens. You know, hotels, Uber Eats, DoorDash, you know, shuttle van service, even the state police was taxing these people around. The home base program is going to cost us $100 million. The migrant shelter program, that you know, the hotels and putting up in hotels costs us in 2025, $830 million to house over 4,000 illegal alien families.
You know, caller, I was talking with a employee from St. Luke's who told me that she's a nurse there, said that they were handing out Uber passes like they were candy. In fact, she said, you can't believe this. Just the other day, we had a guy that wanted an Uber pass, and he wanted to go to Boston. So they gave him an Uber pass to go back up to Boston. And this is exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, this home-based program per illegal alien for 2 years, $75,000. We already gave out, put it this way, Tom, $4,000 EBT, direct cash, that's going for illegal aliens. And then in this home-based program, they're going to have the first month's rent, the security deposit, the broker's fee for a new apartment. And get this, if they can't pay for the utility bills or they have problems with their credit, no problem. The gringos are going to pay the outstanding rent and their utility bills. And guess one more thing. I don't know if you heard about this, Chris. I talked to Chris about it, but you, Tom. Brian Murphy, Bill S-117, more cash, direct cash for illegal aliens, and increase SNAP. You know, and here we are at again. There's no residency required. There's no limits. As a matter of fact, you can be in California illegal alien, and you can be a apply for it, and then by the time you get here, you're going to get all your bennies.
Yeah.
Free health care, SNAP, and direct cash. How about that, Tom?
Well, you know, actually, that was something, as you were talking, I was going to bring that up, that the Department of Transitional Assistance, they have not verified, they haven't been following through on the verifications of what people are saying and not asking for any documentation, if they have some income coming in or anything else. They just ignore it. And the employees, not the employees themselves, aren't ignoring it. They're basically told, don't bother asking. Just give, if they say they have it, just send them this information. So
right.
This is where all this fraud comes in. And this is where it reveals that the government at its highest levels, i.e. the governor, is frankly more interested in spending the taxpayers' money for people who rightfully don't deserve it or have shown proof that they deserve it. And ultimately, the people who are getting punished are the ones that you're exactly talking about, the citizens who are paying the bill and are supposed to be represented.
508-996-0500. Tom, it's Memorial Day coming up on Monday. Memorial Day, of course, everybody should keep in mind, is only a day. It's the only day that we put aside to remember those who were killed in the line of duty as an active member of the military. So if your mom, you know, got hit by a bus, we're all sad about that. But unless that bus was driven by the Viet Cong in Saigon and she was on active duty, it doesn't count on Memorial Day, right? I've lost a lot of people, but I have lost friends, associates in the military. I think of Tyler Trahan, a young man from Freetown, special operator with the Navy, killed. Joey Camara, who was my sergeant, my National Guard unit, was a New Bedford police officer as well, took another tour of duty. He was killed over there. Matt Rodriguez from Fairhaven, who was in the Marine Corps.
Yeah.
We remember him. He regularly, we've done stuff with his mother here on the program and other supporters of his family. There's a lot of men and women who gave it all.
My wife's uncle, he died at 18 in Normandy.
You see?
During the Normandy invasion. And so many men and women have been giving the sacrifices and giving of their lives for our freedom.
Right.
For all of us. And I hope people will get out, go to these parades, stand out, or just take 2 minutes to stop quietly and say a prayer and
right.
say thank you for their bravery and recognize what they did for all of us.
And not only that, if you're a young man or a woman, you should join the military so you too maybe can be honored on Memorial Day if you make the ultimate sacrifice. That's the important part of it. We don't want people to forget, and that's what moves a lot of young men and women to join the military, is that they realize that that's all they can often do at this point in their life is put themselves on the line for their country, for their fellow citizens, even if your legislature is taking your money and spending it on foreigners and all that stuff. And maybe it's better not to join the military. I don't know. But we're going to take a break and then we'll be back. Remember, this hour of the program is brought to you by the cold beer and the world's best chicken wings at Rose Alley Ale House in the great city of New Bedford. What a great day to sit on the deck at Rose Alley. Get out of the house, have a couple of beers, make some bad decisions. Head to Rose Alley. We'll be right back. More with Tom Hodgson. Stick around.
South Coast Now with Chris McCarthy. Weekdays on 1420 AM and 99.5 FM. WBSM.
That's my name. Well, I was down there in about a hire soap with a little mouth of mouse. She was ready to go. I'm the fireman.
That's
my name.
Welcome back to the program. That goes out to the firemen and the whole region who are listening to the program. We got a check-in from our good friend Lenny Mills from the sunny Cayman Islands. Wouldn't we all like to be there? But we're here. I'd rather I'd be here, but Lenny and I were talking about me broadcasting live from the Cayman Islands. He could probably make that happen. But Lenny Mills, our friend, checks in from the Cayman Islands with a mention of Charlie Braga, who was killed in World War II when the Japanese attacked Pearl Harbor. They, of course, named the bridge after him over there, over the Taunton River. Charlie Braga, remember Charlie Braga, killed in World War II by the Japanese. So that's another veteran to keep in mind on Memorial Day. Let's go to the phones. Good morning. Thanks for holding.
Good morning. Hey, I was listening to Hendrix yesterday, okay, and it was so disturbing to hear him protecting Tony Cabral. It's a whole scam. The legislature, they will cover for each other and not take accountability. They had so many months where they could have changed the law regarding the shelter, the right to shelter law. The right to shelter law had good intentions to begin with. No one could have imagined it would have been misused in the way that it was. And so many illegals drained our coffers and stole money from taxpayers, and the legislature did nothing. They could have changed the law, require a 5-year requirement to live in the state before you can get the benefit, or a 3-year. They did nothing. They were just as complicit as the governor, and now they're actually protecting each other. And any Democrat that's running this year should be ashamed of themselves, and they know that they're responsible for what's going on right now. And it's so disturbing to see someone like Hendrix lower himself to protecting Tony Cabral, who has written and brought up so much legislation to protect illegals and to spend the money on illegals. And the thing is that the federal government knows that this is a problem. The federal government has ICE there to protect us and to save us. And all it would take is the state cooperating with the federal government and say, you know, you're right. We're spending money in places that we shouldn't be, and we need to spend it on our taxpayers and our citizens and get these people out of here. They can come in legally, but they can't come in illegally and drain our coffers, and our government just stands by and lets it happen in Massachusetts. We need to start fighting back. Report illegals to ICE, report businesses that hire illegals, and we need to vote in Republicans that will actually stand up and not Democrats that will actually just keep up the fraud.
Sheriff? Yeah, you know, the caller, what a great call.
Thanks for the call.
You know, he's right about that. And not only that, but and whether you vote in a Republican or not isn't the point. Vote out the people that aren't doing what it is, right, which is his point. Vote out the people who aren't doing what they're expected to do. And look, Representative Hendrix has been around for a little while, but all of us have watched Tony Cabral. I mean, do you remember when he filed a bill to keep law enforcement even further away from the polls?
Yes.
Right? And this is right after he was walking along with Bill Clinton in violation of, and then Bill Clinton went inside the polling place at Buttonwood Park.
Yeah.
Tony Cabral right next to him. No problem. Hey, wait, that's because,
and he had a cigar, and there were interns in there. It got really bad.
You're bad. But the truth is, this is exactly what that caller is talking about. The hypocrisy. It's all about what's our agenda, and everything will evolve around that, and those rules will change and be flexible around what we want, not what the people that we're supposed to be represent want. And that's a clear record we've seen with Representative Cabral for 30-some-odd years. And change is good for us, and it is time for change, and time to hold these people accountable. Bring them also.
Neither Chris Hendrix, my friend, and who does great radio, and Tony Cabral, neither of them have opponents.
Well, they may not.
They definitely don't.
Yeah, they may not. But
so they are going to get free. I mean, they can vote for anything they want because they never have opposition. They know that.
Well, they could have opposition, but it may not be a candidate. They can have opposition from the people in their districts. And what I'm encouraging people to do is,
okay,
you call a meeting and tell Tony Cabral you want him there.
Okay.
We want you at this meeting. We want to talk to you about issues that matter to us and our families.
Okay.
And then you explain what those issues are. If you're going to continue to give money to these people who you know are here illegally,
right,
encourage more programs for them, more of our money being spent for people who are not supposed to be here and make us pay the bill, then you know what? Either if you're telling us
we're going to be mad at you.
Yeah, well, not just that. If you're telling us
we're going to be mad at you,
you're going to continue doing this, when you walk out of here, we're going out of here too, and we're going to go recruit somebody, and we're okay. going to get 150% behind them, and we're going to get you out.
You say 150%, and what I say is, that's interesting. All people need is 150 write-in signatures, ballot votes, write-in votes
on that, huh?
to get on the Republican ballot. All you have to do is get 150 to people to vote with a sticker, write-in, whatever it is, on the ballot in September in the primary. And then you can be the Republican nominee for the November ballot in Tony's district, Chris's district, whatever district, there's not a Republican already on the ballot.
Yeah.
And you could do that if there is a Republican on the Democrat side.
And the problems we're seeing around what this caller is talking about here in New Bedford and this whole general area here isn't an accident.
Right.
That's the thing everybody's got to remember. It's not an accident. This is done intentionally.
Yes.
Intentionally going against the will. I mean, you could parallel it to the vote on the audit. The same thing. It's
yes.
sort of like, hey, 72% of you want that? Well, too bad. We're in charge here. You
sand.
Pay our salary.
Right.
And we work in this office here. You're not going to tell us what we're going to do or not do. And this is the problem. The caller makes a great point.
But the lack of candidates willing
yep,
to run candidates. For office
yep.
is, and by the way, only when you get on the ballot after 150 write-in votes in September will I put you on the air. If you're a write-in candidate, you don't get on the air. I do not put write-in candidates on the air. We've gone through that for years here where we tell people, until you're on the ballot, until you follow the process, you are not welcome here for free candidate time. Everybody else who's an actual candidate or elected official is welcome here. Let's go to the phones. Good morning. Thanks for holding.
Oh, you're welcome, Chris. Good
hey,
morning, and thank you for taking my call.
Happy to do it.
Good morning, Tom.
Good morning.
The key word, what you had said earlier, Tom, was hypocrisy. And what you said willingly as well. When you look at the world, they don't understand that you can't fight against God and win.
Right.
That's what hypocrisy is. They don't, with an unfeigned love for the brethren, they willingly follow Christ and lay their life down for the word of God, just like the apostles, just like Stephen did. Otherwise, take a look at Matthew 23, Matthew 15 and 16. Those that say the things that be of God, not of men. You can't fight against God and win because, let's face it, we all die and we all stand before the judgment seat of Christ, 2 Corinthians chapter 5. You can't go through the broad way. You got to strive to enter into the straight gate because broad is the way to destruction and narrow is the way to life and few there be that find it. You got to be willing to, like a joy to lay your life down. No guns, yeah. no nothing. No.
Thank you for the call.
Yeah.
It's a great message on Memorial Day weekend.
You know, and I think, you know, what the caller said, that was a great message. And I think what he's also saying is that we have to stop focusing and looking at everything through a worldly lens
yes.
and look at it through a spiritual lens and
yes.
realize that God put us here to take care of people, solve their problems, help
yes.
them get to a better place.
Provided they're American.
That's where real happiness comes from,
yes.
right? It's the challenges, the worldly challenges are not the things that make you happy, but you have to focus more through a spiritual lens. The other things will take care of themselves
yes.
if you have faith.
We're going to take a break, and I have faith that we'll be coming back right after this break. Stick around. More with former Sheriff of Bristol County, the Honorable Tom Hodge, and I'm Chris McCarthy. Stick around. Welcome back to the program, Only in America, right, Sheriff? So, Tom, the federal government indicted the dictator of Cuba, the retired dictator, Raul Castro, himself personally, unlike his brother, trained in the Soviet Union. Fidel has gone to hell. Raul is on his way. He might end up in an American prison for killing American nationals. This happened back in the 1990s. And the extensive spy network with a lot of Americans involved that the Cubans have in America was responsible for reporting and spying on Brothers to the Rescue. They were then shot out of the sky. They were in little civilian planes over international water. The Cuban, using Soviet-developed planes, murdered these Americans under Bill Clinton. Clinton ignored it. Obama ignored it. Bush ignored it. Only, obviously, Biden ignored it. He didn't know what the hell was going on. Only Donald Trump is looking for justice for these American citizens murdered by the Cuban government. What say you?
Yeah, you know, I think people are looking for consistency, for accountability now in our laws. And I think the fact that if you don't send that message, it basically suggests that it's okay to periodically do these kinds of things. And I think President Trump's made it clear. If you violate the law, this is the rule. It's kind of what we do with kids, right? I mean, you tell your kids, don't do it, don't do it. If you keep telling the kids, just don't do it. If you do it again, you're in trouble, and then they do it again. And you don't give them the boundaries and let them know this is how far you can go. If you do this, there's going to be consequences. And then follow through with it. And I think, sadly for our country, there have been too many times where we've just sort of let things go by the wayside.
Yes.
And it sent sort of an enabling message that you can continue doing and acting the way you're acting. We can't have that in America. I mean, we can't.
And you can't let the communists run countries.
Right.
I mean, you really can't. What happened in Venezuela hopefully will happen in Cuba.
Yes, absolutely. And I think...
Lenny Mills on a mission to the Caymans. He's looking across the water at Havana and at Cuba and finding land over there, Tom. We'll be dancing the casinos of Havana in a couple of years,
well,
Tom.
It's amazing. The Cubans in the United States today absolutely love Donald Trump.
Yes.
They absolutely love Donald Trump for what he's doing to try to bring some protections to the people of Cuba and some order and get them out from under this dictatorship
right
over there.
Look, Assata Shakur murdered a New Jersey state police officer and was given sanctuary after she escaped from prison in Cuba. She died a few years ago. She's one of the inspirations for Black Lives Matter. If you read any of the Black Lives Matter literature, it mentions Assata Shakur. She murdered a New Jersey state trooper after a revolutionary bank robbery. She got a lot of support from the radical left in America until she finally escaped to Cuba, where she's lived out the rest of her life.
Yeah.
I mean, the Cuba was really bad. Sponsors of terrorism, major spy networks throughout America, and they were selling the intelligence to terrorist organizations. People should look up Anna Montes. She was a DEI agent. Really instrumental case. Tom, it's Memorial Day weekend. We want everybody to enjoy the Memorial Day, right, Tom?
Yep, and go out. And if you can't get out to any of the parades to show your support for all those who gave their lives, then at least take 2 minutes quietly
right. And
just say a prayer and thank you to them and to their families who were left behind.
Yeah, absolutely, Tom. Listen, I appreciate you coming in as always. Folks, I want you to have a beautiful weekend. Remember the men and women who died for this country, particularly the local people.